Edge Radio On Demand is made possible by Profile Coffee, located at 15 Portwalk Place in downtown Portsmouth, and online at ProfileCoffeeBar.com. Rediscover coffee at Profile Coffee.
I'm Glenn Sabaluski, and welcome to 10 Questions for the 10 to Watch. We're featuring the winners of the Seacoast Young Professionals Contest, presented by Catapult Seacoast and Seacoast Media Group, with supporting sponsor Bank of America. Community sponsors for 10 to Watch are McDonald & Black Attorneys at Law and Saltwater Creative Agency. Today, we are joined by 10 to Watch winner Jamie Brewer of Portsmouth. He is 36 years old and a vice president for middle market lending at Kennebunk Savings Bank, working in Dover. He helps larger organizations finance operating needs, real estate purchases, and real estate development. His community work includes Big Brothers and Big Sisters of the Greater Seacoast, being a founding member of the Young Professionals for Mentoring Committee, the Portsmouth Historical Society and Discover Portsmouth Board, Great Bay Services Board, the United Way of the Greater Seacoast Emerging Leaders Program, and he's a past co-chair for Catapult Seacoast. Jamie, how do you choose what to get involved with in the community on top of your job, or do you choose? It seems like you're in everything.
That's a good question. In the beginning, when I first was trying to get actively involved in the community, I tried to find opportunities that interest me, but also, you know, things that other people that I knew were doing, and they may ask me to get involved. Currently, I'm on the board, or co-chair of Great Bay Services. I had done some work with them through the bank, fell in love with their mission, and then was asked and had the opportunity to join the board.
Can you tell us a little bit about that mission there and what you've been working on with Great Bay Services?
Yeah, so Great Bay Services is a nonprofit that provides the residential and employment training services for individuals with developmental disabilities. So as a board member there, just really trying to work with the executive director to allow them to continue their mission to be able to provide services for those individuals. It's definitely a challenging environment, especially in New Hampshire. A lot of these individuals require or rely on Medicaid funding to be able to afford both their day and residential services. And as a lot of us know, Medicaid money is hard to come by a lot of times.
And you've been involved with Big Brothers, Big Sisters in the past, too. What have you done there, and what inspired your involvement? Why do you want to be part of that?
So my involvement with Big Brothers, Big Sisters was as a member of the Young Professionals for Mentoring Committee, who puts on the annual stiletto race in downtown Portsmouth. So that was really my first jump into nonprofit committee board work. That was one that not exactly sure how I got involved. I was familiar with the stiletto race and just had the opportunity to get involved with that and do some fundraising and help plan that.
And you've had a number of roles in banking in your career in finance. Can you tell us a little bit about how that evolved, how you got started, and what happened from there?
Yeah, so right out of college, as I think most individuals who are recent graduates, basically was just looking for an opportunity to start a career. My degree was actually in history, so it wasn't finance. But at the time, I was living in the Poconos in Pennsylvania and had the opportunity to work for a finance company doing mostly residential mortgages and home equity loans. But they had a pretty unique training program where you could come in, and if you showed decent prospects, you could basically get trained through their management program to be a branch manager within 2 years. Luckily, I had some success, was able to show some leadership ability, and made my way through that program. In about 2.5 years, I was a branch manager for the organization. From there, 2009 came along, and the company I worked for was a subsidiary of AIG. And during the financial crisis, AIG had a whole score of issues and almost a government takeover. But part of that, we were doing like I guess what you would consider subprime lending, and they came through, and we had about 1,500 branches nationwide, and they closed 500 on one day, including all the branches in New England. So I found myself on the unemployment line, and pretty amazingly, I was, even though we were in the middle of a financial crisis, was able to find a job with TD Bank as an assistant manager there, where I was able to continue to work as a manager, learn more about banking, and work my way up to a branch management position. I also was able to be part of a pilot program that they had for commercial credit training, which is a skill that is hard to come by. Lately, a lot of banks don't have the formal credit training programs anymore, but I was able to kind of go through that and get my feet wet with commercial lending. Then from there, continued in the branch management role for a couple more years, then was lucky enough to have the opportunity to switch over to commercial lending, starting with real small business loans, working with sole proprietors, companies with one or two employees, and continue to gain experience, and now working with larger organizations on larger financing needs.
Now, most of us who, banking's a foreign language to a lot of us, if you're not in the business. Can you tell us a little bit about what your job's like day to day, and maybe some projects that you, if you have projects you can talk about that you've been involved with, so people have an idea of what you do? And
yeah, so commercial lending is kind of a combination of prospecting and looking for new clientele to continue to grow your book of business, but then also you spend the majority of your time managing your current relationships. Commercial lending, unlike probably, most of us are used to, you get a mortgage or a car loan, and then you never talk to your bank again until you have a need for another car loan or you're buying a new house. A commercial banking relationship is very hands-on, both because of regulatory needs to collect financial statements and other needs. But, I usually will talk to my different customers several times throughout the year. So, that keeps us busy, or keeps me busy. Do a lot of construction financing. So that's very hands-on. There's a lot of interaction between the borrower, the construction companies, and then the bank as well. So, again, that keeps us really busy. As far as projects, working for Kennebunk Savings, we kind of have a niche in hospitality. So, able to work with a lot of restaurants in the area, both established and startup restaurants. Great project is Street is opening Streetza here around the corner, and I was able to work with them. Really excited for their expansion. They're definitely a local favorite. On the startup side, able to work with the group opening Hop and Grind in Durham, which are really excited. They're building a lot of fans in Durham, and they haven't even opened yet. There's a lot of excitement around that. And I think they plan to open at the end of August. Those are exciting projects.
And if we can just tap your expertise a little bit, if possible.
Sure.
I know it's your area is not personal finance, but most of us, like I said, are laymen when it comes to banking and financing. What's one thing or a couple things that most of us should know about our personal finances and managing them properly that we don't?
I think you see commercials for it all the time. Credit scores, checking your credit. Being aware of what's going on with your credit report really is important, both from a fraud point of view. There's so much identity fraud and financial fraud out there that you really do want to be monitoring your credit report and make sure that people aren't opening credit up in your name, because it's just a huge process to try to deal with that, and nobody really wants to go through that. And then also just managing, you know, managing that credit score. Having a low credit score, you know, over your lifetime can really cost you a lot more money when it comes to getting car loans or a mortgage, even credit cards, because a lot of the interest rate's going to be based off your credit score. So one easy thing to do is just, you know, make sure that you're making that minimal monthly payment on your credit cards. If it's $15, $20, you don't want to, you know, let that go by if at all possible. Obviously, people have situations and circumstances where they may not be able to do it, but just making that minimum monthly payment it will make a huge difference. One big thing to know with your credit score too is one thing that can really affect that score is your available credit. So it used to be that, you know, they would tell you if you're not using a credit card, shut it down. Banks don't want to see that you have a bunch of available credit out there. It's kind of the opposite now. The more credit you have available to you without actually using it can boost your score.
That's good information to know. I definitely learned something there. Thank you.
Yeah.
And one, I wanted to ask you a little bit about what's been some of the, what have been some of the most rewarding parts of your career. I know you you've talked about in the past about helping mentor other people that they've worked for you in your various banking jobs and seeing them go on to bigger things. Is that right up there for you?
Yeah, definitely. In my current role, I don't get to do it quite as much. But in my former, aspects of my career as branch management, being able to work with up and coming bankers, I always really liked helping them work on the management side. Learning how to manage people, how to be leaders in their own right. And just how to develop their career, make connections, manage the politics of an organization.
Yeah, and I'm sure that pays off for you too. It helps have people who are loyal and like you. You know, I think that's probably important for anybody in any job to be well liked.
I think so. We all want to be liked for sure, and. And I think you find this in a lot of industries. The longer you're in a certain field or industry, you find out that community is actually pretty small. So being able to build really strong relationships with people at all different levels, you'll find that you end up working with them several times throughout your career. So
yeah,
that can be really important.
That's good advice. Yeah. Is there somebody who's a mentor to you early on or has really shaped you as a person or gave you direction for your career?
It's actually kind of funny. My current boss, I first met him almost 10 years ago when I started working at TD Bank.
This is?
His name's Mike Arndt. And we had totally different roles at that time. I was in branch management and he was a commercial banker. But he, from those days, he was always kind of a mentor. And then we had the opportunity to work again at Kennebunk Savings. And then now is actually directly work for him. Through 10 years from my mid-20s through my mid-30s, it's off and on. But he's definitely played an important part in both mentoring and, just helping me throughout my career.
You mentioned being in your mid-30s, Jamie, and I hate to say it, that means you're an older young professional.
Yes.
That's still, you're still not over the hill, but you're definitely in the older young professional category. What's your best advice, for as someone who's been involved with the Young Professionals Networks all the way up through, as somebody who's worked a few different jobs and risen in your career, what's your best advice for young professionals in their first job?
I think it's probably maybe not even just your first job, but your first couple jobs is, just be patient. But so somebody gave me the advice, and I think I may have actually put this down in an interview for 10 to Watch before, but great advice that I got was, be patient and work harder than everybody else. And this is through my mentoring too, is something I always try to share. People who are ambitious, they want to move to that next level as quick as possible. And a lot of times, and I felt this a lot of times through my career, that I felt I was ready. I knew everything that I was going to learn in that certain position. Then you get to the next position, or you work another year and you realize how much you didn't know. And also, I think sometimes if you have a lot of ambition, you can get frustrated if you're passed over for a position or an opportunity, or see somebody else given an opportunity that you weren't able to take. And, you know, it can get frustrating, but it's important just to, you know, be patient and show your worth, and especially not burn bridges.
Absolutely. And what do you see as the toughest challenges for most young professionals? Is it being patient, or is it, are there obstacles out there that you see too?
That's a good question. You know, one of the biggest, and I don't know if it's, I would say within an organization, but I see this as something holding back a lot of young professionals, is the ability to go out and start their own businesses. A lot of young, you know, the majority of young professionals that I know are burdened with student loan debt. And I think this is an issue probably across the entire country, is, you know, keep talking about small businesses are the backbone of the American economy. But for somebody who has $35,000, $40,000, $100,000 in student loan debt, you can't leave the comfort of a paycheck at an organization to go and start your own organization, start your own company. And I think that's going to continue to hold back economic growth within this country, because there's just so much student loan debt out there. And, you know, there's a lot of brave people out there, but then there's, you know, if you have a family and a house and a mortgage, it's hard to take that leap of faith if you know you're carrying that other debt.
Yeah. I mean, other than having, you know, some people are fortunate enough to have a family member to finance them when they're getting started. But outside of that, I don't know what there are for solutions out there.
No. And yeah, there's no real great solutions. You know, it's great to see state universities working with community colleges, you know, so that you can, you know, do a mixture of start your first 2 years at a community college and then transfer to, you know, maybe the state university. I think that's helping. I'm not sure if that's the solution. And then even for, you know, advanced degrees, they're so expensive now that it makes it tough.
That's for sure. And what are some of your goals for your future at this point?
You know, I think I don't know if I have a specific goal of, you know, a role that I necessarily want to be in. But just, you know, to continue to be able to add value to my bank, Kennebunk Savings, and, you know, provide leadership in any way I can. Continue to work with, you know, my customers and community, you know, providing, you know, I really enjoy what I'm doing right now, which is being able to provide financing for businesses and allowing them to grow and meet their goals, and also just continue on the community side and be able to work with nonprofits and lend my expertise to their organizations.
Well, thank you very much for joining us today, Jamie. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me.